Hi, this is Chris Morgan, Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Fellowship Church. We're a non-denominational, full gospel church located in Matthews County, Virginia. Thank you for listening to today's message. We believe you'll be encouraged. For more information about us, visit gocfc.com. God bless and enjoy.
If you received a handout, a two-sided handout, that's wonderful. You can keep your hands down. However, if you did not, we want to make sure you can get one. We realize that there's many people that come in a little later. They may got a miss. If you, for some reason, you did not get a handout, then wave at, you keep your hands real high until an usher can get you that. Amen. Many times there's many moving pieces where people are serving and so on and so forth and didn't pick one up for whatever reason as well. So if you would just take a moment, wave at me, amen. And if somebody hasn't gotten to you, there's some more in the back, guys. But there we go, praise the Lord. Thank you for keeping your hands up high. Or if somebody doesn't see you, wave at them, just say, hey, over here, praise the Lord. Glory to God. We want everybody to be able to get that. Everybody to be able to get that. Praise the Lord. Well, today, I'm not here to bore you. I'm here to empower you. Look at your neighbor and say, you're about to be empowered. Praise the Lord. You're about to learn something. Look at your other neighbor. Hallelujah. And whether you have heard what I'm about to talk about one time, 100 times, 1,000 times, or no time, you're about to be helped today. Amen. And so you can see that these pages, I have a front and a back, is side one and side two. If you will begin with me on page one, amen. And so, Father, I ask today for your help to be able to communicate this. The things, there's many things in my heart. And yet, Lord, thank you. I trust you to bring out what you would want. And so that the things that need to be covered can be covered and can be said. And so we give you praise and glory and honor, and most of all, for your help that you give, but also eyes to see and ears to hear to your supernatural church. And we give you the praise and glory and honor for it now in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone that agreed with that said, amen. Well, today, if you're taking notes and you got something to take notes of and you can follow along with me, we're going to be talking about learning to be the supernatural church. Amen. Learning to be the supernatural church. At the top of page one, it says steps to grow or discipleship leadership pipeline. I want us to be aware of this in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Jesus said these amazing words. He said, go into all the, he said, spoken to disciples, all authorities have been given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations. Everybody say, make disciples. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. We understand that discipleship is a vital part of what Jesus commissioned his church to do. Not only to become, but to do, make disciples. To become disciples and then to make disciples. Along with that, you also find that it's God's will as we read both Old and New Testament, that without proper leadership, then there is a dearth that happens in a great void. Because disciples need proper leaders as well. And a leader is no more than a continued process of discipleship, as we'll learn. But what we're talking about today is what we call grow. Amen. We have a system here. It's a discipleship leadership pipeline. In other words, we have a plan here in our church to make you and your family, coming here, being disciples and leaders for God. Amen. And our strategy to make those disciples and leaders for Christ. And so we have a plan, we have a strategy of doing this. Now listen to what I'm getting ready to say. Discipleship is vital. We just read Jesus said we should do that. How discipleship is done can be done in different ways. However, this is a way, not the only way. It just happens to be the way that we do it here. Amen. And as we walk together in unison in this, saying the same thing, moving in the same direction, we're a mighty moving force that cannot be stopped. And the devil hates it. The devil hates unity because unity brings the anointing that destroys every yoke. When we speak the same thing, think the same thing, act the same way, help people the same way, move in the same direction, causing disciples and leaders to be made for Christ, then we become an unstoppable force that the devil hates, Jesus loves, and his kingdom is built. Can I get an amen? Jesus said he would build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So as we do our part of making disciples, equipping the saints for the work of the ministry, you're going to find out it's my job to teach you to do what you thought it was only my job to do. And as we make disciples, amen, and if the scripture says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it says that Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. As God gives the increase because of discipleship is happening, actually, he builds his church in such a way that the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. In other words, we advance, hallelujah, and we run over and enforce our already defeated foes' defeat. Amen. Praise God. And so here's what, as we go on and read this, it is, it grow is an intentional path for spiritual development. How many know it is God's plan for us to grow up spiritually? And did you know, let me just qualify this for you. The part that we really grow up in is that it has everything to do with the renewing of our mind. Because I want you to understand that when you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, that you get made new spiritually. But that new spiritual life is not released unless this mind is renewed. So this, our spiritual development has everything to do with the renewing of our mind. Can I get amen? And so this helps us to be able to do this. So we can see this is an intentional path for spiritual development. It is a growth pathway. A spiritual growth pathway for our people to see who they can become by taking their next steps in Christ. So this is really not about a program. It is about steps that we continue to take. And no matter who we are, we can further our walk with God. Because how many know this is what this is about? This is a journey that you are all on, that we all on, and we won't arrive until we get to heaven. When we do all of this with the end in mind, which is to win and disciple people to Christ. All the way here on this page to your right, you'll see this pipeline. It's going to have, which we're going to go over in just a moment, seven steps. And the seventh one, you see, says expanded disciple of the church. Guess what that means? That simply means that we exist to win and disciple people to Christ. Because when we expand and disciple the church, that's what we're doing. We're winning and disciple people to Christ. And we have six steps that when we are active in them and understand them as individuals and as a body, we work to with the end in mind, and that is to expand and disciple the church, or we exist to win and disciple people to Christ. So what we're going to do today is we're going to turn over to page 2, and you'll see another little diagram here. On page 2, you're going to see what we call the seven steps of growth, okay? On the pipeline, the first step, attend church services. Second step, participate in special ministries. Third step, join the church. Fourth step, serve on a team. Fifth step, grow. That means continue to grow and to learn at Grow System. Amen. It's part of it. Amen. Number six, lead and mentor team. These are our wonderful department heads that are here. 30-some department heads help serve this church, this ministry, outside of their direct reports, who are all staff members. It's through the operation of these department heads and their great teams that you and I get served. This church gets served at a level where which we can come and everything moves like it's supposed to. And then you can see that all this works, this pipeline or the steps, this pipeline has a flow of water come out, having to know that God is still pouring out His Spirit. Amen. And it's for a purpose. It is for a purpose, all four. And I think that we need to be on, we need to have up, and we do. Praise the Lord. Okay, we do. I just couldn't see the part of the bottom of the screen. That's fine. So the point is, it is making disciples and leaders what we are making. Amen. What we're endeavoring to make is disciples and leaders for Christ. If hopefully your paper says what my paper says, because that is showing that to me. But anyway, I applaud that. So, okay. So it's this, we do all of this to expand disciple of the church, all for making disciples and leaders is what we are making. Amen. So God designed you to be a disciple, some of you to be leaders, but all of us to be disciples. And all of it's important. And so we have six steps that lead to this. Now, I want to give you a news flash. You do not have to do all these steps to be made a disciple and leader. You, matter of fact, you could just start coming to church today and learn to be a disciple. Or in other words, you could learn to expand and disciple the church rather. In other words, let me say this again. Let me correct what I said because I realized I didn't say it right. You do not have to do all these six steps leading to the seventh one, which is to win and disciple people to Christ, to expand and disciple the church, in order to do that. I'm not saying you have to do every step in order to do the last step, which is to win and disciple. Anybody can win and disciple people to Christ. However, what I found in 39 years, almost 39 years of my saved life, the people that really make disciples, the people that really win the lost and make disciples, are disciples themselves and leaders. Invariably, it is disciples themselves, people that are following Christ at the level that He called them to follow, or even are leaders, that are those that are really good at making or winning disciple people to Christ. Amen. I see a big gap sometimes, and I'm not going to spend much time here because I don't have time. And this is how it should work. When people get saved, I see when they get saved, there's a group of people in this church over the years, when they got saved, man, they got on fire for God. And they start inviting people right from the get-go. I mean, they started reaching their friends and inviting. That's what it's supposed to be like. Yes. That's what it's supposed to be like. And they don't have to, listen, they don't have to take six steps to make that happen. They can just start doing it. And they should. But what I find out is after people start coming, they, for some whatever reason, and some people need a little bit more fire and inspiration than other people, they start leaking a little bit. And they just get happy with that blessed assurance, and we come and we sit and we stop inviting people. We're not quite as on fire. Especially, you know, you look into 20 years of serving God. When's the last time you, I'm just asking you, I'm not asking you to give me a speech or report, but when's the last time you invited someone? You've been coming for 20, 30, when's the last time you invited someone? Many of you say, we keep on doing it, Pastor Chris. Many of you stop because people say, no, I'm not going to come. Or they say, well, I'll come, but then I never come. So you get turned off. Keep going. And let the new ones that come, they get fired up, that fill up a row. Don't say they took your seat. Just say, blessed be God. Hallelujah. There's no cheap seats here. I'll find a seat somewhere. But I'm blessed be God. They are here and they're bringing their friends. They may not look like you, smell like you, talk like you. But we want them here because we want them to be changed by the power of God. But as they come and keep coming, they need to have a growth pathway. They need to have a disciplined way to grow. And we all need to have a disciplined way to grow. And we all need to know what that way looks like so we can all be doing it. So when people come and these new believers say something, so what do I do? What's my next step? Then you can sit right down and tell them. And guess what? You ain't got to, pardon me 1 minute, sis. You ain't got to reinvent the wheel. All you got to do is take your cheat notes out and say, let me just talk to you about this plan that we have to do what you're talking about right here. Amen. Now, of course, you may go a little bit deeper and talk about, hey, start in the book of John. You need to read your Bible. You need to pray. But if you can get them to come to church, come on. If you can get them to come to church, they can learn that. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, God. There's not enough time to do all I want to do. So today, what we want to do is, would you allow me to entertain you for a moment? Amen. Praise God. I'm going to do more than entertain you. I'm going to endeavor to get this out today. But I want to do it in a way that would be helpful to all of us. I want to unpack these six steps. We do everything that we do here in this church with the end in mind. In other words, this plan starts with the end in mind, to win and disciple people to Christ, to expand and disciple people to expand and disciple the church. In other words, the moment a person comes in, we're thinking about how we're going to make a disciple and a leader for Christ. How we're going to get them to be a person that wins and disciple people to Christ. How we're going to get them to help expand and disciple the church. In other words, how we're going to get them to be the disciple that Christ called them to be and follow Him. Well, we got a plan. And it's not a hard plan. It's a very simple plan. But it is a plan. Amen. And I want to show you, you know, to be honest with you, the reason I'm so, there's probably nobody in this room more passionate than I am about the local church. Because this plan is a blueprint that has been created that I've lived by. And I proved out. Don't tell me this don't work. I've lived it for 39 years. My wife and I have lived it for 39 years. And it's all scriptural. This is not man-made. Every part of it, you can find it in the scripture. This is why I say this is a way, not the only way that you can do it. There's other ways it could be done. But these are simple six steps. By doing them, you start on a journey and you never stop. Because when you get over here and you become a disciple leader, you start right back at the front door again and you become the person that now as a disciple leader, you are disciple and leader maker. Praise the Lord. So let's look at this one moment. It all begins, the first step, as you'll hear sometimes people come and say, man, I so loved today. What do I do? We just say, keep coming. Keep coming. Now listen. We don't want you to come just because we want to fill all the seats. It looks pretty good in here today. I congratulate you. Amen. Because you had something to do with that. Prayer has something to do with that. God has something to do with that. The Holy Spirit has something to do with that. And you have something to do with that because you obey God. Now listen. We don't want people to come to church just for the sake of filling up chairs. We want them to learn to be the supernatural church. Yes. Halfway down this list, you see where it says, learn to be the supernatural church of this first stage. So it begins with walk in relationship with God. Coming to attended church services is going to help you learn to walk and grow in your relationship with God. Am I lying? If I'm lying, I'm dying. I'm not lying. How many people have been helped by coming to church and you've grown in your relationship with God? You've grown in your walk with God. You learn how to do that. I know I did. and I still am. It's called becoming. Listen, I'm going over these bullet points really quick, so follow along with me. It's talking about becoming a disciple. Amen. Now, Jesus didn't say, go and make converts. When a convert or person gets saved, that's what they are. But he said, make disciples. Turn a convert, a person that just got saved, into a disciple. Oh, Lord, they're going to have a time following me on that camera today. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, I'm not going to make elaborate statements because I have to come back to this place and talk at the end, tie it all together. Followers do this. Followers do what? Followers of Christ do what? They come to church. Hebrews 10:25. The scripture tells us, neglect not the assembly of ourselves together as a man of some is, but all the more as you see the day approaching. In other words, we shouldn't be coming to church less now that we believe, if we really believe that Jesus is coming back, amen, for his church in the rapture, and then return 7 years, about 7 years later in the second coming, then we should be coming more, not less. Praise the Lord. This is what the scripture says. But this is why attend church services is so important, because you're going to, number one, grow in your walk in relationship with God. Amen. Learn to be a disciple. Jesus, it said, the next point, Jesus did. Jesus did what? Jesus, according to Luke chapter 4, verse 16, says it was his habit or custom to come to church, go to the synagogue. That means this. What does that mean for me? The word synagogue is a synonymous word for the word church. Amen. It's of their meeting place, their assembly place. Okay? So we know this as believers, as called out ones, as saved ones, as God's chosen ones. That's what the word church means, called out ones, chosen ones. Called out to listen to and to take marching orders from God. That's why we must assemble to hear from God, be strengthened, and get our marching orders and go back out in the world and make a difference, bless God. So Jesus did this. It says that as his habit was, or his custom was. That means this, that Jesus constantly, as the Son of God, God manifests in the flesh. He said, I only do what I see my Father do. I only say what I hear my Father say. So whatever we see Jesus do, whatever we hear him say, had to be the will of God. If it was the will of God for him to go to church, how many know it's the will of God for us to come to church? Look at your neighbor and say, no excuse. Okay, we're gonna see what we really want is learning everyone to become the supernatural church. That's what we want. Not just come to church, but really learn to be the church. And that's what we're talking about today. So we're going to skip over that and keep on going. How many, if we'll come back to that at the very end. Hallelujah. How many know that God wants you encouraged? Be encouraged. Coming to a local church will encourage you. How many have ever come and they were beat down, beat up, and everything else, but when they left, they were encouraged? Come on, can I get an amen in here today? Amen. And then next it says received. In other words, that means that you come to a place where you're loved on and can also receive from God, because God wants you to be able to receive from him. Am I telling you the truth? He didn't provide all those promises in the Word of God for the pastor to enjoy them only. He desires that every person receive his blessing and his benefits. Number next, it says, be planted. How many of those, according to Psalms 92, they that be planted in the house of God shall flourish in the courts of our God? God wants us fat and flourishing. That doesn't mean we're 350 pounds. If we are, that's all right. However, he wants us, the word fat means, or flourishing means, to be anointed. He wants you to have the peace of God, the anointing of God. He wants you heavy with everything good, so you're filled to spill, bless God. And then he wants us to invest and invite. Attend a church so that you can hear, hey, just like you would change, love people enough to invite them to a place that they can be changed to. Hey, they just got to learn to listen to this funky talking white boy right here. Praise the Lord. Amen. God is helping me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Connect. Next step, participate in special ministries. Notice it says connectivity, relationships, and discipleship. We realize this, that many times people come to a local church and they desire a deeper relational walk. They desire to be able to sit down with someone and have questions answered. And what we have found out, that doesn't always happen in a Sunday morning and a Wednesday night service, because people have to come and go, and for whatever reason, maybe they haven't met people. But what we have done is we have provided other, what we call special ministries, and invite people to participate in them. Like, see where it says connectivity, relationship, and discipleship. Intentional, you can write on your sheet, intentional relationships equal discipleship. So we have provided means by which at another setting, that a setting, it is a setting for discipleship, but it's basically first and foremost about connectivity and relationships. Some of which are our life groups. We point people to our life groups. Wonderful, trained men and women of God, amen, that you can have a Bible study around, ask questions, and get to know people on a more personal level. Women with divine purpose. Oh, you have a good example of, you come to a women's meeting, and man, they don't mind chewing. Maybe I need to rephrase that. They don't mind getting around tables and talking to one another, deep conversations. I mean, they love the fellowship. Men say two words and the women have said 1,500, praise the Lord, at the same table. It's just the way that it is. And these meetings are designed for connectivity and relationship, yet they don't lack the discipleship part. And that you meet other people, you have divine connections there. That's why it's called Women Divine Purpose. Man Up is the same way. Men come, and you start feeding them food, steaks and stuff, they start talking. Blessed be God. They start talking. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And it begins with relationships. They may be talking about hunting, fishing, about work, jobs, and everything. But next thing you know, amen, those spiritual giants are rising up. They're connecting with one another. They're talking about Jesus, how Jesus has changed their life. They're testifying. They're sharing. And it just builds the whole thing. Amen. Here's another example of this, a marriage relationship class that we have through the year. We have in a class right now. It's wonderful. And then Stephen Ministry, where those caregivers are all part of helping our congregation and those that may need an extra time because they've lost loved ones and face life challenges. All these are what we call special ministries that people can be involved in or receive help and care about. Number three, the next journey. The next step in journey is simply joining the church and finding your company. Acts 4:23 said this. It says, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported all the chief priests and the elders said unto them. Acts chapter 1, Jesus promised, when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, you're going to receive power from on high. Acts 2, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, day of Pentecost. Acts 3, miracles, signs, and wonders. Follow the word of the preaching of the word and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And then Acts chapter 4, all the stuff hits the fan. In other words, what do I mean? Well, everybody ain't going to be happy that you're following Jesus. Not even religious people. Oh, they were happy you gave your heart to Jesus. But now you come into that church. Oh, that church. Oh, you go into that church. Oh, you go to that church. Oh, the tongue talkers, the believing healing and believing. Yeah, and every other good blessing that God pours out on us. Praise the Lord. Amen. All for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, what I'm saying is, I let you know, when they healed that crippled man at the gate beautiful in the name of Jesus, all the religious devils showed up. How many know there's some plenty of religious devils in these four counties? Listen, if we're not careful, this is why we got to kick them out. You got to use authority to keep racial spirits of demonic influence out, as well as religious devils out of the church, because they oppose the will of God. They tried to divide. You got to kick it out. Kick it out. And see, they were not happy that they're teaching and preaching in the name of Jesus. That they wanted all the glory. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, they wanted all the glory themselves. But when the disciples were threatened no longer to teach and preach in the Word of God, where did they resort to? Did they go behind closed doors and cry like they did in the upper room and pray? No. They went out and found the other believers that had got filled with the Holy Spirit that had the same beliefs like they did, or even stronger. They assembled together and they turned now to God by the power of the Holy Ghost and said, God, now behold, they're threatening. And God, I know, basically says, they prayed Psalms 2 and said, God, I know in heaven you laugh. And so we're going to ask you to do this. Fill us with the Holy Ghost. Give us boldness and stretch forth your hand to heal signs and wonders. We ain't shutting up, putting up, backing up, or giving up. We're moving forward and onward in you. And we're going to see God do the things of God. See, this is why we need the local church. You need people around you. So listen, when you face battles, and you will, you don't sit home and say, oh, nobody cares about me, poor, pitiful me. Nobody needs me. Yes, we do. Yeah. And don't assume everybody's got telepathy, because nobody does here. In other words, can read your mind. Well, somebody should know I didn't show up, and somebody should have called me. Well, and I may agree on that to a certain degree, but the disciples didn't wait for somebody to call them. They showed back up where the help was. They were smart enough to show up where the help was, and they got the help, and they moved forward, bless God. Yeah, yeah. This is why there needs to be a place in joining the church. Are you just saying, I'm committing to a company of believers that believe like I do, or even stronger than I do? It's called the household of faith, the last day of safety, the last day ark of safety. Come on. Oh, there's a lot more that I can say here, but I must move on. Number four, start serving on a team. The moment you join the church, your next step is the work of serving, the work of doing the ministry. Amen. It's part of your spiritual fulfillment of maturity that you cannot get any other way than through serving. Part of our spiritual development, we can get no other way, it will be through our serving. Amen. You say, well, I just don't want to miss a thing the pastor says. Well, good. I'm glad you don't. But I can tell you, somebody else needs to hear what you're going to say in one of those classrooms. Some of those children and some of those teenagers and some of those preteens and some of those baby bottoms and some of those in the parking lot needs another smiling face to see somebody come through and say, "Ooh, this is the most friendly bunch I've ever seen." Glory to God. Hallelujah. The list goes on, but I can just tell you, part of our spiritual fulfillment can come no other way. See, not only is discipleship our walk and relationship with God, it's also the other side of the coin, our work and our service to God. And this is why we want to get people involved in on teams, because we make everything happen here through teamwork. And then bringing a supply. Amen. Ephesians 4:16, we're not going to put it up for time's sake. Write it down. Just like you are supplied to through the Word of God and the Spirit of God, now you become a supply. In other words, just like the body of Christ, the finger bone is connected to the hand bone. Come on. Amen. The neck bone's connected to the shoulder bone. I don't know what you are, but you are something special. That's what you are. Look at your neighbor and say, you are something special. And at connectivity, there is a supply that the Bible says in Ephesians 4:16, when we are all connected the way we're supposed to be, there's a supernatural supply that this body gets that it can get no other way. Right. Amen. And in serving on a team, you're talking about all of us want godly relationships. Serving on a team, you're going to meet some other people. You're going to meet new people. You're going to have new relationships. Amen. Discipleship. In other words, I'm going to be discipled when on a team. See, a lot of times people fail to realize that when they get on a team, it don't stop the discipleship process. Matter of fact, you're going to be trained to be on that team. You're going to be given care on that team. And you're going to be further discipled on that team. And there's going to be team care that now you ain't just waiting for the pastoral staff or someone to know what's going on. You got a whole group of people around for praying for you, inquiring about you, calling you, all those kind of things. Yeah. I hope you realize I could take an hour and teach on each one of these. Look at your neighbor and say, thank God you ain't today. Praise the Lord. Amen. But I could. Are you ready for number five? Grow. Continued education. How many know that God wants us to be lifelong learners? Lifelong learners. Amen. I see some of the smoke coming out y'all's ears today. I'm going so fast. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, in other words, hey, I'm just joking. But what I'm saying is, you know, professionals do this. You're in the medical field. How many professionals do we have here in some kind of career position that say, I have to have ongoing training? Just lift up your hands all over here. Lift up your hand. Look at all of them. Let me tell you something, as important as that is. I don't know, because you got to code right, you got to diagnose right, you got to do your stuff right. But let me tell you something. I hate to throw this paper down and stand on it right now. Don't make me mad. As important as that is for that, don't you think that God's kingdom is as important or even greater important? Well, Pastor Chris, I learned this in the shipyard. I don't want to come to church and talk about leadership. Well, my God, where else should you talk about it at? You read the whole book of the Old Testament, of all the Old Testament, the first thing he did is talk about the kings. He was a good leader or was a bad leader. He was either did evil or good in the sight of God. And how he went or led determined how the nation went. So I'm telling you, it's pretty important. And the reason why we need ongoing training, vision, value number three of our church is we'll make individual and corporate growth a priority. So we're always going to be talking about us growing, individual and together. Because none of us, next bullet point, none of us have arrived. We don't know it all. There's none of us know it all, including the pastor. This is why I keep learning. And I have great people around me. I look at my board sometimes and I tell them the honest truth. I said, if I'm the smartest person at this table, then I got the wrong people around me. And they look at me, oh no, Pastor Chris, we couldn't take your place. I know, I'm in my place, but I need many women around me that know other things that I don't know. That's what I'm saying. I know how to lead spiritually, but I need some natural advice and guidance as well. And if I'm the smartest one at that table, I got the wrong team around me. And I don't mind saying that to them. I say it to them all the time. I don't mind saying it to you. Praise the Lord. Thank God for them. Put your hands together for our wonderful board and leadership teams that we got. So you say, well, Pastor Chris, Miss Judy, this is not the first time you've heard this. You led our Bible school for how many years? At least three or four. Talk a little faster because I'm under pressure. Okay. That was a slow answer, sis. No, I'm just playing. You did good. All right, listen. You led at Bible school for 3 or 4 years. Okay? Now, listen. You heard about Grow. When Pastor Doug was your direct report, y'all talked about some of those things. You said in all our Grow trainings over the years, many, many times have you've heard this. But I can just tell you, just because you heard it don't mean you got it. Not that you won't, because you are a great leader. I mean, and that's why you rose to that. You're a great leader. Amen. You're a great educator in our school system, and then you took our Bible school to a new level. But the reason we need to talk about growing these leadership things is because of these 4 points right here. We need to be reminded. It helps us to readjust. We need to be refreshed and refired. Yes. We need to be reminded that both discipleship and leadership is the will of God, and that leadership ain't just for the shipyard.
Right.
Come on. It's God's will, church. Yeah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. If you don't think so, then just write this down. In Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7, the very first problems in the church was a lack of leadership and a lack of helps ministry and a division over racism. But what happened is when the apostles rose up and said, we're going to assign other people to serve and lead, not just us, it said the church flourished and it went from addition to multiplication overnight. It kicked out all the division. And that's what we must do too. Then the last, number six, lead and mentor team. It's not the last thing I'm talking about, but it is the last block on the pipeline. Helping others to take that next step. Because we need leaders. We need leaders. We need leaders over teams. Amen. So our staff is not doing it all. They can lead it all. They don't have to do it all. A leader can lead many things. He can't but he's not to do everything. Helping others. So when a person steps in a department head role or leadership or mentorship role here in the church, we're helping them take their next step as well. It's called ongoing discipleship. It helps take care, church care, to a new level, because now those leaders are touching at a whole new level that even the staff, in other words, the extension of the staff is just that simple. And then we see what I talked about here, ministry multiplication happens in Acts chapter 6, 1 through 7. Read it at home, do a little Bible study. You see, when they have raised up leaders, that's when the church went from addition to multiplication. And if you haven't noticed, we're on our way. Praise the Lord. Somebody need to say amen, dance, run, shout, do something. Praise God. Equipping model 11, Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. What does that mean? Well, we talked about this extensively yesterday. It's my job. Verse 12, it says that God, verse 11, God gave, Christ said in the church, first apostles, second the prophets, thirdly teachers, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. For the equipping, here it is, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. The word perfecting there means to fully adjust, to equip, to spiritually mature. So what happens is, there's as there is a equipping of the saints to do the work of the ministry, then the delegation and the empowering goes down line, and there's a multiplication of leaders that can help only grow the ministry as they are equipped as well. And they now become the equippers as well, those leaders and mentors of those teams. Goes on, the last point says, developing spiritually and relationally and with required competencies to lead. In other words, over a period of time, as people have worked this process, it becomes obvious that some people have the gift of leadership. Some people want to serve at a higher capacity. You can see they're disciple makers. You can see how they do that. It becomes they're strategic thinkers. They care about the ministry. They've got the DNA of God and the ministry, and they're willing to pour their lives in a different flow, where which now they're leading spiritually and relationally with other people. They understand the importance of being able to sit down people one-on-one and confront issues and pour into them the right stuff. We need all those. We need them on both sides. We need leaders, but we need disciples. All of this is for this process. And I submit to you, this is all for God, for the kingdom of God, and this is how the early church did it. Everything I'm talking about are steps you can find in the Scripture. Now, I want to finish today and close with us, the few moments that we have left, go back to, as we look at this, before we go back, all of this is for this purpose, is to make disciples and leaders. Why? Because in making disciples and leaders, we are expanding and discipling the church, because they're the ones that are going to do it. Anybody can, but disciples and leaders will. And they will win and disciple people to Christ. And then when you get there, you see this person right here. They just come right back to the head of the thing again. And they start looking for the people that coming in the doors again. And they say, yeah, look at those. They ain't saying fresh meat. They're saying, I'm just joking. They're saying, look at these wonderful souls that can be developed for Christ. Then we have prayers that are praying in an area of ministry that Christ be formed in them. so that the process of prayer and hearing the Word of God is catching hold. And then over a period of time, is that people say, well, I'm just lonely. I like the church. I like what I'm hearing. But I'm just, then you say, then it's not a mystery what to do. You need to be involved in special ministries. Honey, have you ever heard about our life groups? You need to get involved in that. Have you ever heard about man up or women? I mean, women ain't coming to man up. Men ain't coming to women. But you know what I'm saying. Oh, you're going through a hard time? Then you may want to consider, we have a ministry here called Stephen Ministry. We'll help you. See, all these things are designed to help us. We all know what to do. Yeah, I mean, we look and see the person that has become a disciple, and in 2 years they've invited and one more people to Christ. You say, that's a leader right there, praise the Lord. And so you talk to them about their next step. But you see the potential. But see, we have a plan to do that. Now, I want to close by talking about the supernatural church, because this is what we're supposed to be. You are the church. Say, I am the church. And supernatural church is what we talked about to begin with and where we want to end here. So what we say is, we're going to come to church. We want people to come to church to learn to be the church. And I want you to know this. The local church is a school you go to relearn how to live again, and you don't graduate until you die. What do you mean a supernatural church, Pastor Chris? I'll tell you what I mean. It's a church that's full of difference makers. It's a church that is learned, that is built upon the Word and the Spirit. It's a church that's built upon the Word and the Spirit. They asked Brother Hagin before he went home to be with the Lord after about 70 years in ministry. He said, what's the Lord doing in the earth today? He said, one thing the Lord is doing, he'll continue to do what Jesus said he's going to do. Jesus said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He says, the Lord is building strong local churches that know how to flow in the Word and the Holy Ghost. And he ain't stopping until he raptures us home. That's his plan, church. Yes. Amen. That's his plan. And so don't you think it's his plan for us not only to learn the Word of God, but to be Spirit-filled? Yes. If we're to learn to move with the Holy Ghost, then the fruit of the Spirit is for our character, which we need. But the gifts of the Holy Ghost is the doorway to the supernatural. And we will find, just like Pastor Debbie is doing a masterful job, somebody need to put their hands together on Wednesday night, a masterful job teaching about prayer. One of the things that set the early church apart from everything is they had signs, wonders, and miracles. It was a church full of the Word and full of the Spirit, and it got the world's attention because the supernatural power of God was in manifestation, and those miracles, signs, and wonders got people to give their heart to Jesus because they saw that Jesus was real. Hallelujah. We want you to come to church to learn to be the church because you need to learn your authority. Hallelujah. How did it go today? Come on, sing a little bit for me, Ryan. Come on, sing a little bit for me, Ryan. I ain't got much time. Sing to me, brother. We walk in the victory. Come on. Hey, what does it say? What are the words? I'll sing it. We stand in authority. Come on. We all for your glory, Lord. For your glory, Lord. Yeah, there you go. Come on. If you notice how much better I sound with them, not without them. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's where they got that. You see, we learn our authority. The keys of authority. Keys. 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 Keys of authority. Keys. Not just one thing. Keys. Binding. Loosening. Prayer. Bless God. All the keys of authority. Hallelujah. And then coming to a local church, you know, there's things that not just taught, there's things that caught. There's a spirit of faith that's not just taught, it's caught. and being around it and hearing miracles and seeing what God has done. Not just what you hear from the pulpit, but you talk to your friend and say, my God, you got to hear what happened to me today. Nobody will never know what happened to me this week. And they begin to tell it. You say, oh, and your faith goes up to a whole new level because you see what they did. And now you know that that's possible, because all things are not only possible with God, all things are possible to him that believeth. See, it's a place where God's super is placed on the natural. Because you may come in and feel real natural. You may feel real carnal. But by the time you leave and you get built up, God's super gets on the natural. And you become the leader back there. And you become the husband and wife that takes you to walk and lead your home in a whole new place. Because it don't stop here. It goes there. It takes you home, that when your husband has attack and the devil says he ain't going to live, you call your pastor and says, stand with me that my husband shall not die but live and declare the glory of God. And he's still alive today. And serving God in this local church and the good work that God has begun in you, Sean, he's going to bring it to completion at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're talking about a total transformation process. Where lives, you don't even recognize yourself. How many can say, oh my God, you better know I'm changed. And I ain't arrived yet by no means. I'm still being changed. And you're helping in that process. But I can just tell you, all of us can see. You know, I challenge people. I said, if you can look back a year ago, if you walk down today and you keep doing the things that we said, give us 1 year of your life. Come every time the door is open. Take notes. Go over them. Apply them. Be doers of it. In 1 year's time, you won't even recognize yourself. You may not be where you want to be, but you're taking steps to where God has you to be. And you'll be. How many can say that's true about them in here today? I think about you, Tammy. You grew up in this church and you went away to Florida doing whatever. Amen. Praise the Lord. Got married and different stuff, and then things happened there. You came back home, minding your own business. Only thing you knew is to come back home. You obeyed God, come back home. And all of a sudden, in the midst of all this, you started coming. Well, I know I ain't going to go to church because I need a church. I need a church. She had a church in Florida, but she's back home. I need a local church. And she knew a good one. It's called CFC. She introduced it as a child, but she's come back. She minding her own business, doing her job, doing this, that, the other. We find about, we don't know what she did. And now she's on staff. Got the DNA of ministry. Amen. And just continue to grow, because we follow God and his plan for our life. And we're part of a supernatural church, all about church, attending the church. How about the fellowship meeting that we got ready, the fellowship meal that we're getting ready to have? You know, the early church had Acts 2:42, the supernatural church and the early church, they had times of fellowship. That means not only did they come together as a supernatural group to eat meals together, but and to take communion together, which they did, which we're having, but this fellowship, this spiritual fellowship, there's something about the spiritual fellowship we have with one another you just can't have with anybody at your workplace or even in your family if they ain't saved. Come on, I'm preaching, brother, you say amen. A society of faith. Amen. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, word first, amen, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers. The supernatural church. Why don't you wake up every morning and say, I'm part of the supernatural church? Well, Pastor, I'll just be honest with you. I got so much going on, I don't feel like it. Stop it! Stop having so much going on. Stop saying what you're saying and just wake up and say, I'm part of the supernatural church. As you set your course of your life with your words, if you do these two things, think faith thoughts, speak faith words, it's amazing what will happen. Brother Ryan, are you going to help me today? Amen. Praise the Lord. Thought you would never come. Praise the Lord. To save and save everybody today. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Did this help you today? Amen. It didn't hurt you. Supernatural church. Supernatural church. We're going to see supernatural things. I hope you ain't sad. Pastor Debbie, one of the first statements she made in the prayer series. Now, I don't know how many more weeks we're going to go on that. But she says, I want you to be dissatisfied with being satisfied with your life and where you're at in your life. That's the first step for more. Being dissatisfied with being satisfied. Well, Pastor, I've lived a good life. I'm a pretty good old boy, girl, woman. That may be a fact. But what the truth is that you're part of the supernatural church. Don't sell yourself short. These are the things that remind us and refire us. You get behind that big piece of equipment that you do. You were retired. How many times have you retired, brother? But I don't mean that wrongly. No, but not because you're old. But when you're good at what you do, everybody wants you. So you go back and you behind that piece of equipment. And you do what you do with your mind and say, I'm part of a supernatural church. And there's things happen on job sites that are beyond your control. And so you may dial 911, but I can tell you one thing. You come down under that thing and say, oh, wait one minute. I know exactly what to do here. Somebody call 911 where I use the name of Jesus over this person who just got run over. Or this person that just got injured. Or this situation. You know what I'm saying? These are the kind of things that remind us that no matter who we are, whether we're there or on the radio, there's a whole bunch of people that need to hear the voice of God. Amen. That little widower that you're cutting the grass for and doing the yard work for, not forgotten. She may feel that way, but by the time that she leaves, she'll say, ma'am, you mind me praying for you today and remind you that you're special to God? Well, you young whippersnapper, and she'll be so happy by the time that she leaves. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And something about your ice cream that makes me smile, and it's not just that it tastes good, but there's something that comes out of that truck, and it's not just cold air. Bless God. It's the Spirit of God. What's going on in your life? What's different about you? My God. Come on, that's what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. God is so good, brother. He is so good. When you're a shipyard and you walk in there and people say, hey, I'm going to pull you off to the side. Say, can I ask you a question? What is so different about you? I say, you really want to know? Here we go. How much time you got? You got the 1 to 3 minute version my pastor taught me to give you? Or you got a little bit more time? Either way, you just begin with Jesus like Philip did with the Ethiopian eunuch. Begin with the scripture where it talks about Jesus and end with Jesus. Begin and end with Jesus. Knowing how to do that. Learning how to do that. And that's all part about coming to the local church. Father, we thank you today. We could go on and on and on, but thank you for, I believe, that you've helped us today. Not only have we received new members, but oh God, we have been helped and trained and further. I believe that we've been inspired to be and see the supernatural church that we are. It's under the sound of my voice I speak over the people of God. I thank you that you're building them. I thank you that you're building this church, oh God. And unless the Lord build the house, they that labor, labor in vain. We do. This is about us not laboring in vain, but walking with you. Help unify us so that we speak the same thing. There'd be no division among us. We'd be perfectly joined together, same mind and same judgment. Help us in this, oh God, so that you receive all the glory. There's no big I's and little U's. It's all about you, Jesus. And so help us to understand these things. Help us to continue to make the adjustments, to take the next steps, to be refreshed, refired, and built up. We thank you. We'll see where we need to make those adjustments, and we will. But you've helped us today by your Spirit. We rejoice with those that have joined the church. But yet, Lord, as believers, we're here today, and we stand and we say, as much as it is and important as it is to disciple the church and to grow together and to be one, we know this, that Jesus came to die for a lost in a dying world, to keep people from a devil's hell. He died for that purpose. And for the purpose of that, we would be remiss if we did not talk about that in ending today. See, I realize his head's about, eyes are closed. Christian's praying.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it helped you. You can visit our website at gocfc.com to listen to other life-giving messages, read the pastor's blog, or to find out how you can be a part of an upcoming service. We hope to hear from you or see you soon. God bless and have a wonderful day.
The majority of the-